1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Last week we talked about get your mind right. Come on, tell your neighbor, get your mind right. Get your mind right. We talked about if you're going to get your mind right, you've got to get your memories right. You got to get your influences right. You got to get your names for the future right. And you've got to get your determination right. You've got to get your mind right. Getting your mind right puts you on the pathway to success. It doesn't guarantee you success, but it guarantees that if you do not get your mind right, you will not arrive at the destination that you want to arrive at. You have to first get your mind right. And if you did not hear that, man, you can go to iTunes. You can go to our website, download that. I listen to it. I believe it will be a blessing to your life. Just a little side note. Do you know that this year in 2015, over 7,500 people have clicked on one of our podcasts to listen to it or either to download it onto their mobile device. 7,500 people in just 3 months. We've had over 1,000 people that have watched our stream on live in just 3 months. Over 1,000 people have tuned in and watched online. And so let me just tell you, the message that is coming forth from here, we are seeing things happen, not just here in the city, but all the way around the world. 1 Timothy chapter 4, let's start reading in verse 6. If you explain these things to the brothers and sisters, Timothy, you will be a worthy servant of Christ Jesus, one who is nourished by the message of faith and the good teaching you have followed. Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. This morning I want to speak to you on the subject of train to triumph. Train to triumph. Let's pray. God, I ask in the next few moments that you would open up our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our mind to understand, and our heart to receive the fullness of everything that you want to communicate to us today. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody said, amen. Training is not an exciting word. Training is actually something, if we were honest, that we all wish we could skip out on. And many times we try to do just that. We all want the end result, but nobody enjoys the training process. As I was thinking about skipping out on training, I started to think about what are some other things that people really like to skip out on? And people really like to skip out on school. You can say amen. I mean, that's okay. Nobody's going to judge you here. People like to skip out on school. You know, you didn't have a problem skipping out on test day, but nobody skipped out on party day, right? I mean, nobody. You were having the class party. Nobody was skipping school on party day. You know, what are some other things that people love to skip? People love to skip a workout. You know, people love to skip a workout, but nobody skips a cheat day. You know, when you get to eat whatever you want, you know, nobody skips that day. Skip the workout. Don't skip the cheat day. Another thing that people love to skip is people love to skip directions. You open your child's toy, you place the directions to the side, and you begin assembly. I was just thinking about this as I was preparing this, and I thought, man, that poor person that spent all that time writing those directions only to know that 99% of the people that purchase this toy are never going to look at their hard work and dedication. I mean, I just wonder, like, if they just start writing foolishness in there going, nobody's going to ever see this. You know, here you are, you put the instructions and the directions to the side, and you start working on the toy. You go from working on the toy to then fighting with the toy. You know, the frustration starts to mount. You start saying things like, these pieces just don't fit together. And there's always that person that comes in and says, well, did you read the instructions? Well, of course I didn't. I would not still be here fighting with this toy. I would have been finished an hour ago. No, I did not read the instructions. You know, they put those instructions in the box for a reason. You might not like them, but they work. You might think they are unnecessary, but they will help you get where you are trying to go. And the thing that I have found out is that the people who like putting things together are the people who never want to look at the directions. You know, in a couple, Destiny is she loves to put everything together. I don't put anything together. She likes to, she hangs all the pictures on the wall. She puts all the bookshelves together. I mean, she, by the time we get it home and it's in the box, she's ripping the box open and instructions are flying everywhere. And she's just starting to put everything together. I'm going to figure this out on my own. And so it never fails that somewhere in this process, when she can't get it all to fit, it happened just last week, and she can't get it all to go, and she's like, this just doesn't work. They didn't give us the pieces that we need. We got to take this back. And I asked the famous question, well, have you read the instructions? Well, no. I said, well, where are the instructions? She couldn't even find the instructions. She was ignoring the instructions so much. But the people who love to put it together, they never want to follow the instructions. It's the people who never put anything together. They're like, well, let's read the instructions first, because there's a purpose to the directions. But I found that training is similar to those directions that came with your child's toy. We so desire the end result that we attempt to shortcut the system in order to get there faster, only to discover that we will never get there without the proper process. We want the finished product. We just want the toy to be complete. We just want to be everything that we are supposed to be. We want the end result, but we don't understand the importance of following the step-by-step process to get us where we want to go. And when we hear the word training, there is one thing that we don't like about the word training, because the word training implies this may take a while. This may take a while. You see, if it wasn't going to take a while, I would just say, hey, just let me show you how to do this real quick. Let me show you how to do this. But whenever I tell you I'm going to have to train you how to do that, it implies that this is not going to be quick. This is not going to be easy. And this process may take a while. And so when Paul writes to Timothy and he says, train yourself to be godly, he didn't say, just let me show you real quick how to do this, Timothy. Let me just give you one verse that will change everything. He said, no, Timothy, son, you've got to train yourself to be godly. This may take a while. This won't just happen with a prayer or a reading a week's worth of the Everyday Champion devotional. Train yourself to be godly won't happen just by attending church a couple times a month. Training yourself to be godly, it only happens through training. And when we hear the word training, we need to understand this may take a while. It doesn't matter how bad you want the end result. The only way to get there is through repetition. It doesn't matter how bad you desire a great result at the end of the road. You will only find in the repetition. The result that you are looking for is found in the repetition. Training is all about repetition. It doesn't matter if you're talking about in a weight room and you're trying to get strong on the bench press. The only way to get to your result is through repetition. It's through doing the same thing over and over and over and over. No matter what you are trying to accomplish in your life, where you want to go, you will only get there through this thing called repetition. And we don't really like repetition, because repetition takes time, and we don't like things to take a while in our lives. Repetition, it can feel fruitless, but it is actually producing fruitfulness in your life. It can feel fruitless. If you've ever been in that process of just starting to kind of read your Bible, you know, you just kind of, man, you want to make a change in your life, and maybe you prayed a prayer, you really encountered God in a service, and you say, man, I'm going to really go after this thing. You start reading your Bible, and you read your Bible for a few days, you read a couple chapters of the Bible, you say some prayers in the morning, and you just say, I don't really I don't really feel anything. I don't feel much different. Well, it's just like those people that work out for a week and they start eating the right foods for a week and they start walking every night and they get to the end of the week and they haven't lost a pound. And they say, man, I ate all the right things and I started exercising, but I did not lose any weight. This just doesn't work for me. It's like the people who plant the seed in the pot and you've got all the dirt there and you plant the seed down in and you water the seed and you water it for several days, but you don't see anything happening. And you say, this isn't working. This is fruitless. No, it's not fruitless. It's actually the process and the repetition that will create the fruitfulness in your life. It might not look good right now, but if you'll just keep doing the repetition, what you are desiring will begin to show up. You see, training can seem futile, but it's actually the thing that's forming your future. It might seem futile, the repetition and the training, it might seem futile, but it's actually forming your future. Repetition isn't fruitless. It is actually the key to the fruit in your life. You know, another thing about repetition is repetition seems monotonous, but it's actually leading you to the miraculous. Repetition, it seems monotonous, but it's actually leading you to the miraculous. Over the last few months, we've seen some video testimonies from Gabe Chance and from Kyle Ward, and we've heard the testimony of Ben Ward here in our community and many others here, Dale Stevens, guys who came out of drug addiction, guys whose life was completely devastated and destroyed, and today they're planting churches and they're running successful businesses. And they're teaching in our classrooms, and God's doing great things in their life. And everybody says, man, that is a miracle story. I want a miracle story like that. I want God to do in me what God did in him. But what you don't understand is that the miracle of their story came out of the mundane things of their life. Say, what are you talking about? It's because they read their Bible every day, because they prayed every day, because they were accountable to people every day, because they got a spiritual mentor every day, because they went to church every day that the doors were open, and they did it over and over and over again, and the thing that seemed monotonous was actually taking them to the place of miraculous, and today they are free, and today they are fulfilling the will of God, and it is a miracle in our midst, but the miracle came from the monotonous. It's just like the people of God when they walked around the city of Jericho. They walked around one time, 6 days in a row. They walked around the city one time. And you just have to think, these guys were thinking, what are we doing? Why are we walking around? And when Joshua called them to fight, he said, this is what we're going. We're going to take the city of Jericho. And he said, okay, I want the orchestra up front. He didn't say, I want the warriors up front. He didn't say, give me the guys with the swords and the spears. He said, give me the musician. I want the band up front. Give me the orchestra. Give me those people up front. And they walked around the city for 6 days, and they didn't see anything. And sometimes in our life, we walk around one day, and we don't see anything, and we quit. Maybe you make it 2 days, and we don't see anything different, and we quit. We walk around 3 days, but we really don't experience the change that we really want to see, so we quit on the third day. Some of us go for 6 days, but yet the things that were in our lives are still in our lives, and we quit walking around. But on the seventh day, they walked around that city 7 times, and then they blew those trumpets, and they gave a great shout, and the wall of Jericho came tumbling down, and God gave the people a great victory that day. You see, what seemed monotonous was actually taking them to the miraculous, and it will be the same thing in your life. You might say, this is pointless, but actually it's taking you to the point that God wants you to be at. You might say, this is fruitless. No, this is actually fruitfulness. You might say, this is monotonous. No, you don't understand. This is creating the miraculous in your life. It's taking you to a place that repetition can only take you. Listen to me this morning. You need to write this down. Desiring results, but denying repetition, leads to disappointing reoccurrences. Desiring results, you desire the right result, but desiring results, but denying repetition leads to disappointing reoccurrences. Desiring results. Man, I want to be godly. Man, I want my marriage to be everything that God wants it to be. Man, I want to overflow with joy in my life. Man, I want the peace of God in my heart. I desire the right results. But when you deny the repetition that's going to take you to the results, actually what you are doing is you are going to experience disappointing reoccurrences over and over. Because when you have a hope that something could be different, but you're not putting the repetition in your life that will take you to the different thing that you want in your life, that's disappointing. That's disappointing. And so you constantly live your life in a reoccurrence of disappointment, a reoccurrence of I'm never going to make it, a reoccurrence of I'm never going to be everything that God created me to be, a disappointment. And you know what? People can only be disappointed so long, and then what do? People quit. I get tired of being disappointed. I've got this great vision, but I'm denying the repetition that's going to take me there. But let me give you the good news. If you desire results, and if you are developing repetition, it leads to dynamic reoccurrences. Do you see that? If you're desiring results and you're developing repetition, I'm desiring results, I'm developing repetition, that's going to lead me to dynamic reoccurrences. You see, we all want the dynamic, powerful, effective reoccurrences in our lives, but this may take a while because it takes training. But if I have the right results and I'm developing the right repetitions in my life, I'm developing the right habits in my life, I'm doing the right things and I'm saying the right things and I'm going to the right places and I'm doing it over and over and over and over, it will take me to a place where then I begin to get dynamic reoccurrences in my life. I begin to get divine reoccurrences in my life. Things that I've been hoping for and waiting for and praying for, I will begin to see those things in my life, and it's all about me developing the repetition in my life. This may take a while. Come on, turn to your neighbor. Tell them this may take a while. Tell them this may take a while. Don't get discouraged. This may take a while, because habits that have been in your life for 40 years most likely will not disappear with a 40-minute sermon. The routines that you have developed over the past 5 years of your life won't walk away after a 5-minute worship song. The thoughts that you have allowed in your brain over a lifetime, they're not going to leave just because you don't want them there anymore. You see, we don't really like to hear this, but we need to embrace this truth that this may take a while. This might not happen as fast as I want it to happen. This might not happen the way that I would like it to happen. This may take a while, and I need to be okay with this taking a while. I might want to change today, but it might take me all of 2015 to get where I want to be tomorrow. This may take a while because it takes training in our lives. But you need to know this. You're not training just to survive. You're not training just to make it. You're not training just so that one day you might just possibly get into heaven. No. You are training to triumph in your life. You are training to overcome the things that have been overcoming you. You are training so that you can step over the things that used to be holding you back. You are training for a purpose, and that purpose is so that you might triumph in every area of your life. And this is what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, "Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win." So run to win. Run to be a champion. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing or beating the air. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Training it to do what it should. I believe that we have all lived long enough to know that your body is not naturally going to do what it should. Your mind is not naturally going to think what it should. You must train yourself to do what you were created to do. And the simple truth is that most of the time, we can't pray away our patterns or believe away our behaviors. We can't pray away our patterns. We can't believe away our behaviors. You know, we would like to just say a prayer and the pattern that we had developed over our life would just go away. It doesn't work that way. We would like to just say, well, I've got a new belief in my life, and I just believe that everything is going to be okay. And that belief is not going to change those behaviors. It takes discipline. It takes training. It takes God-given power. And this is what I love when Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. He says this, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." You know what I love about this? Is that the Spirit that God gave you, when God put His Holy Spirit, His divine Spirit inside of you, when He gave you that Spirit that He gave you is not timid. That Spirit that comes inside of you is not going, oh, wow, this person's been addicted for 20 years. Ooh, I don't know if we have what it takes to push out this addiction. Oh, this person, they've lived their whole life full of lust and full of deceit and full of anger and full of rage. Ah, this is too intimidating. I don't know if we're going to be able to overcome this. No, the Spirit that God gives you is not timid. It doesn't matter what you've been and what you've seen and where you've gone and what you've done and what you're addicted to and what you've been hooked on. When the Spirit of God comes in, it is not timid. And listen to what it says. It says that it is not timid, but it gives you power. It gives you power. Power for what? It gives you power to overcome. It gives you power to overcome that addiction that's been ruling your life. It gives you power to overcome anger. It gives you power to overcome your lust. Power to overcome. Philippians 4:13 says, "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. It means the Spirit that is in me is empowering me to overcome. It doesn't matter what I'm facing. It doesn't matter how long I've faced it. The Spirit that is in me is giving me power to overcome my obstacles, power to overcome my temptations, power to overcome everything that I'm facing in my life. He gives us power. But then he doesn't just say it gives you power. It says it gives you power, and then it also gives you love. Love for what? Love to obey. Love to obey. This is what Jesus said in John 14. He said, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and will make our home in them or with them." We will make our home with. He says, "If you love me, you will obey." You see, he gives you power to overcome, and then he gives you love to obey. Most of the time, a lot of the struggles that we have in our life, it's not the enemy attacking us. It's not all of these things. It's the fact that we just haven't fallen enough in love with God to stop doing what we're doing. I know that's hard. That's a hard thing for me to swallow. That's a hard thing for me. There are things in my life, and I want to think that I really love God, but then I read what Jesus said, and he says, "If you really love me, you will obey what I have told you to do. You will do these things, not because it's a rule, but because you love me. Not because it's a regulation, but because I have come into your heart, and I'm the lover of your soul, and because I am your Savior, because I have rescued you, and I have redeemed you, and because we have a loving relationship, that's why you're going to do these things that I have commanded you to do." And so the Spirit that comes in, it allows us to love at a capacity that we've never been able to love at before. It allows us to love so much that we begin to obey. That's what the Spirit comes in, so that we can love God. And not just so that we can live in this ooey-gooey relationship with God, but it's love so that you would obey the commandments that God gave you. Then he says that the Spirit that comes in, it's not just love, it's not just power, but he says there's also self-discipline. Self-discipline for what? Self-discipline to outlast. You got power to overcome, you've got love to obey, and you've got self-discipline to outlast. To outlast what? To outlast your fear? To outlast your uncertainty? to outlast those people around you that are quitting, to outlast those people who are mocking you, to outlast those people who are judging you. It's just that it's the self-discipline to outlast. And Jesus said this, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. You see, you have the self-discipline just to remain, the self-discipline to outlast all of those attacks, to outlast all of those thoughts, to outlast everything that you're facing in your life. It's just that I'm going to remain. I want my life to be fruitful, so I have to remain. I want my life to be fruitful, so I have to outlast this season. I want my life to be fruitful, so I've got to outlast this storm. I want my life to be fruitful, so I've got to outlast this trouble. And if I just keep outlasting everything by the power that is in me, by the self-discipline that is inside of me, my repetition will take me to places so that I can outlast those things in my life. Train yourself to triumph. You can listen to me this morning. You can triumph over your fears. You can triumph over your doubts. You can triumph over your unforgiveness. You can triumph over your racism. You can triumph over your behaviors. You can triumph over everything. Why? Because God put His Spirit inside of you, and He gave you power, and He gave you love, and He gave you self-discipline, and all you have to do is to learn how do I begin to tap into those things so that I can overcome, so that I can obey, and so that I can outlast. Somebody needs to say amen to that. God put inside of you everything you need. It might not be everything you want, but it's everything you need. How many of you would just love to say a prayer and the struggle of your life be gone? How many of you would just love for one time just to lift up your hands and to sing one song, and whenever you put your hands back down, the trouble that had been chasing you all of your life, it wasn't there anymore? That's what we want, but God says, I'm going to give you everything that you need. Power is inside of you. You figure out how to tap into that so that you can overcome. Love is inside of you. You figure out how to tap into that so that you obey my commandments. Self-discipline is inside of you. You figure out how to tap into that so that you can outlast your situation. Everything that you need is inside of you. You know, I hear people say sometimes, I tried Christianity. And Christianity, it just didn't work for me. The truth is, it's not that it didn't work. It's that you didn't work it. It's not that Christianity didn't work. It's that you didn't work it. And now let me be clear. You can't work for your salvation. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. You can't pray your way into heaven. You can't work your way into heaven. You cannot earn your way into heaven. But let me tell you this. It is hard work to get heaven into you. You can't work to get into heaven. That comes from God's goodness. That comes from God's grace. But I don't know about you. I'm trying to get heaven into me. I'm trying to get obedience into me. I'm trying to get love into me. I'm trying to get joy into me. I'm trying to get kindness and gentleness into me. I'm trying to get self-control into me. And getting heaven into me, that's hard work. You getting into heaven, Jesus has already taken care of that. But getting heaven into you is hard work. That's why Paul tells Timothy, you've got to train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to be godly. There's two things that I want to share with you this morning that training will do for you. Back into our original text that we read at the beginning in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he tells Timothy, if you explain these things to your brothers and sisters, you will be a worthy servant of Jesus Christ, one who is nourished. Everybody say nourished. One who is nourished by the message of faith and the good teaching you have followed. By the message of faith, you'll be nourished by the message of faith and the good teaching you have followed. The first thing training will do for you is it will nourish you. It will nourish you. Notice he says you will be nourished by two things. The message of faith and the teaching that you followed. You'll be nourished by what you believe and by what you obey. There are two streams of nourishment here. One is what you believe, the message of faith, and the other is your obedience. Two streams that are nourishing your life. You see, it's so easy for us to be malnourished because many times we feel good if we believe the right things, but if we don't, if we are not obeying the right things, if we have not figured out how to get the right things out of our lives, we are living our life malnourished. We're only eating from the tree of what we believe, but this other nutritious stream that wants to flow into our life that comes from obedience, we haven't got that yet. And so we believe and we're getting some nutrition from what we believe, but we're not getting any nutrition from how we live. And so we're actually living our life at 50% capacity. We're malnourished. And the word nourish, it means to sustain, to strengthen, to build up. Today, what you believe is sustaining you. Today, what you believe is strengthening you. Today, what you believe, your faith is actually building your future. But also, hear me, it's not just what you believe, it's how you behave. What you believe is sustaining you, but how you behave, how you obey, it's sustaining you, it's strengthening you, and it's building your future. Just 2 days ago, Destin and I were having our small group over at our house, and there are two guys in our small group. One is preparing and training for a mini triathlon, and the other one is training for a marathon. They said it was their leader that really inspired them. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's a joke, people. I'm not running a marathon. As I was standing there listening to them train, I thought, you know, hey, I ran 2.5 miles on Monday. I'm feeling good about myself. They're talking about biking and swimming, and normally I get hungry when I get to about the 19th mile of the marathon and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, oh, okay, good. That's good to know. If I ever do run a marathon, I'm going to be ready for that 19th mile, you know? But as they were talking about what they eat before the race and then what they eat during the race, one of the guys said this. He said, I've been doing this long enough now that I know what my body responds best to. I know what I need in every situation. What he was saying is, I have discovered what nourishes me. I have discovered what I need to eat before the race. I have discovered what I need to eat during the race. I have discovered what nourishes me. And you see, all of us in this room, we are all running a race. We are all running a race. And in order to run your best, in order for us to do what the Apostle Paul says, in order to run to win, you must know what nourishes you. You must know what you need before the race and during the race. You need to know what will nourish you. And Paul says, I want to tell you what will nourish you. You will be nourished by your faith and you will be nourished by your follow through. You will be nourished by what you believe and you will be nourished by how you behave. You will be nourished by what you believe and how you obey what you believe. There are two streams of nourishment that are coming into your life. And if both of them are not flowing, you will be malnourished. And you wonder why you get tired and you wonder why you get weary and you wonder why you can't ever make it to where you want to go, why you can't reach the destination. You need to look at what is nourishing me. It's not just what I believe. It is also, how am I following what I believe? Your commitment to training, it's sustaining, it's strengthening you, it's building up your future. Your training will nourish you. Here's the second thing that training will do. Training will allow you to flourish. See, it's not that just does training nourish you. Training allows you to flourish. You nourish and flourish with training. And this is what Paul says in verse 8 of the text that we read. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. Training allows you to flourish now and for eternity. We all understand that physical training is good for this life, but how many of you know physical training is not going to do you any good for the life to come? It might extend this life. It may let you live healthy this life, but training, physical training is not going to do you any good after you die. And most people see godliness only benefiting them in the life to come, but they don't see godliness doing much for them in this life. We see it backwards. But Paul writes and he says, there are promised benefits. There are promised benefits in this life and in the life to come. And a benefit is simply an advantage. And isn't everybody always looking for an advantage? People are looking for an advantage in tax season, okay? People are looking for an advantage in football season. People are looking for advantages all the time. And Paul says, I'm going to give you an advantage. Train yourself to be godly. Your advantage will be found in his abundance. If you train yourself to be godly and you train yourself how to tap into the power and how to tap into the love and how to get the self-discipline, not just in you, but flowing out of you, then you can begin to live the life that Jesus said he came for you to live. That is a life that is abundant. It is full. It is overflowing in your life. And what you need to know is that when the storms are raging in your life, you can still have peace. When the situation is gloomy, you can still have hope. When the struggle is intense, you can still have joy. When people are judging you, you can still give grace. When others are quitting on your left and they're quitting on your right, you can still remain faithful because you trained for that. Because you trained for that. And when you train yourself to be godly, when you train yourself to be godly and you nourish yourself with what you believe and how you behave, you nourish yourself with faith and with obedience. When you nourish yourself, when you put the right stuff in, then when life comes and squeezes you, when the pressure gets so intense in your life, when situations and circumstance begin to press down on you, when stress shows up in your life and begins to weigh down, when life comes in and begins to press you, if you have nourished yourself with faith and with obedience, if you have nourished yourself with faith and follow through, if you are properly nourished, then when life comes in and it squeezes you, what you get out of your life in that moment is what will allow you to flourish, because what you put in, you will get out. You know, and the Bible talks about this, and the musician can come at this time. The Bible talks about this. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. But do you know something? You actually always reap more than you sow. Now, you will reap what you sow. So if you sow love, you're going to reap love in your life. Okay, if you sow judgment, you're going to reap judgment. If you sow grace, you're going to reap grace. If you sow hatred, you're going to reap hatred. You do reap what you sow, but you always reap more than you sow. Because you plant one little seed and you get a tree. You plant one little seed and you get a tree. You plant one seed and you get a tree that is filled with fruit that have hundreds and thousands of seeds in them. And that's just for this season. And then the tree's going to come back again next season and it's going to have a whole nother crop of fruit. And you just sowed one seed, but you're reaping a harvest. You see, that's what's so amazing about God, is because God designed it even in nature and in the supernatural areas of your life. God is a multiplier. You sow and you put it in, but when you put it in, God does something supernatural with it when it gets down inside there. God does something supernatural. You put in just a little bit of the word, but God begins to blow it up on the inside of you. You put in just a little bit of prayer, but God begins to multiply it. You just sow a little bit of seeds of accountability and God begins to grow that inside of you. You just do a little bit and the next thing you know, you got a lot. Why? Because you were sowing something in your life and God is a multiplier. And so God gives you back more than you could have ever dreamed. And that's why the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 3:20 and he says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Whoa, wait a minute. He's got the immeasurably more. He is the multiplier. But there's a thing that we can't miss in that verse.
It's only going to be according to the power that is at work within you. If you don't work the power won't work. If you don't work the power won't work. If you don't plug the charger into the socket and plug your phone in, you can sit your phone on the nightstand all night long, you can unplug your charger, and ain't nothing going to happen. And you say, the power doesn't work. Call the power company. The power doesn't work. No. The power works. You have to work the power. And the Apostle Paul says that we serve a God who is able to do immeasurably more. He is the great multiplier. He can take a seed and give you a tree. He can take an apple and give you a bushel. He can take what you put in his hand and he can multiply it in your life, but it is only according to the power that is at work within you. If you don't work the power is not going to work. But if you will begin to train yourself of how to work that power and how to work that love and how to work that self-discipline, if you will commit yourself to training and you will say, God, I'm going to do this over and over and over. I'm in the monotonous because it's taken me to the miraculous. It might feel fruitless, but I know it's going to be fruitful. I'm willing to commit to the process because it's where I want to go. And you get to the end of the road and you've got a whole orchard. You get to the end of the road and you got more trees and more fruit than you even know what to do with. And it just started with a little seed, because God is the multiplier. But when you plant that seed and you say, I'm going to work it every day, I'm going to water it, I'm going to till it, I'm going to do whatever else you do out there in the garden that I don't know about, and you just get out there in the garden and you just work the garden. If you work it, the power will work for you.
Let me just give you these things, three things real quick. I know we're out of time. Three tips for training. First, you need to get a plan. Listen, get a plan. Get a plan. You need a written plan. Every coach goes into a game with a game plan that's written down. That's why they hold those big sheets of paper with all that foreign language on it. Because they've got a game plan. They're not out there just going, oh, well, let's see. Second down and 13. Let's go with this play. No. They've got a plan. Because success is found in a plan. If you're not planning to succeed, then you're planning to fail. It's just the way that it is. You've got to have a plan. Get a game plan. Write it down. What are you going to read? How much of the Bible are you going to read? Where are you going to start? Start reading the book of John. Start reading in Matthew. Where are you going to read? You're going to read a psalm and a proverb every day. What are you going to do? Get a plan and write it down. Get a plan. Go get the book, Battlefield of the Mind. Start reading it. You need a plan. Here's number two. Get a group. Get a group. You always train better in groups. I don't know if you're familiar with the CrossFit phenomena, but CrossFit only works when you do it in a group, because nobody would do that by themselves. But when you get in a group, you'll do more than you do by yourself. When you get in a group, there's encouragement and there's motivation. When you get in a group, there's accountability. You need a group. If you're going to commit to training, you need to get a plan. You need to get a group. And the third thing is you need to get a coach. You need to get a coach. You need to get somebody who is going to help you. Andy Stanley says a coach will help you go further faster. And I couldn't agree more. You need to get a coach that's going to help you go further and help you get there faster. Somebody that will help hold you accountable. Somebody who will be there for you when you're on the mountaintop and when you're in the valley. You need to begin to commit to training. Here's what everyday champions do. Everyday champions do something every day. That's all it takes. Just do something every day. Everyday champions are going to read something every day. Everyday champions are going to pray every day. Everyday champions are going to do. It might not look significant. It might be 10 minutes of your day. It might not look like much. But you put that little seed in the ground, and God will begin to multiply that in your life. It may take a while.
but we got our mind right. It may take a while, but we got our mind right, and we're determined we're going to see this all the way through. Will you stand with me this morning?
Thanks for listening today. We hope you were encouraged by the Word of God. If you'd like more information on North Point Community Church, you can find us online at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com.